Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That is James 1:27. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining us today from Virginia are adoptive parents John and Tracy Adamson. The Adamsons have six biological children, three children adopted from Ukraine, and they're in the process of adopting two, maybe three more children, also from Ukraine, that they recently hosted. Sounds like a full house. Welcome to the show, John and Tracy.
Thank you.
Hi there.
So it's wonderful to have you both on. You have six biological children, as I just mentioned, so that's already a large family. What led you to pursue adoption?
Well, we started thinking about adoption a good while ago. In fact, after becoming Christians in the mid-90s and getting married, and also I ended up attending seminary, we just studying God's Word, we realized, as you were talking about, we are adopted into God's family, and therefore the adoption seemed very near and dear to God's heart, and therefore it should be near and dear to our hearts as well. And I started to talk to Tracy about it. After we had our fifth biological child, started looking into it more, and I was more on board at first. Tracy had the mindset of maybe adopting later, but she was certainly open to it. And originally we thought about adopting children from maybe multinational backgrounds. I had kind of in mind having kind of a rainbow coalition of a family, you know, just people with different ethnic backgrounds. I thought that would better represent the fullness of God's church. But then we end up meeting, going to church for a while with a couple who adopted a child with special needs. And he was extremely disabled. And when they first got him, he was an extremely unhappy child, cried a lot. And then we didn't a lot of seizures. And when we saw them, we didn't see them for a while, but we saw them about 6 months later or a few months later. And of course, they had the child with them. And he was like a completely different child. He was happy. His medical problems had settled down some. They were clearly happy. And God opened our eyes to the possibility of doing special needs adoption. And so we got involved with looking at possible special needs adoptions through an organization called Reese's Rainbow, which helps mainly children with Down syndrome, but also other special needs find homes.
So Reese's Rainbow, as you mentioned, is a nonprofit that advocates and finds families for orphans with special needs. So our listeners can learn more about them and view pictures and profiles of children waiting to be adopted at their website, which is reesesrainbow.org. We've interviewed Andrea Roberts, the founder of Reese's, before on this show, and we've also interviewed several other families who also adopted their children after finding them on that website. So, John and Tracy, you were on the Reese's Rainbow website and were drawn to a little boy with Down syndrome. Tell us what happened from there.
Yeah, and actually, once we found Reese's Rainbow and we saw all the waiting children, it was like John and I and each of my children, our children, we were just so burdened for them. I just remember us looking on it every day, looking at all the kids, just crying because we learned about their plight, that they're often just deposited in orphanages from birth because they're told that they can't take care of them. There's no support, you know, in their culture. And that often they are transferred at age four to an adult mental institution and they don't make it. So we started reading lots of family stories that we're adopting, and it just really opened our eyes. And to be honest, at first we were looking at children that had like a mild physical disability. We're both therapists. John's a physical therapist. I used to be an occupational therapist. So we thought, you know, we could handle that. But my children kept coming back to a picture of a little boy named Slava, who had Down syndrome. So it took God working our hearts to think that we could do this. And God opened up some doors. I won't go into all that, but so we all decided unanimously to adopt Lava, and his name now is Sean. So anyway, after that, we started the long process of, you know, there's lots of paperwork, medical appointments for all the kids. It's just a long process, but it actually was shorter than typical adoptions. I think, was it about seven months? And then we ended up taking three of our children over there with us. And they still talk about it this day. It just really impacted their life. Going to the orphanages, getting to know him and being a part of that process. So we brought him home in May, right?
May of 2009.
And then at what point did you learn about Lily? Because you adopted again.
Yeah. So before we left, we had asked if there were any other children with special needs, because we had learned that it's much easier to do it in one, you know, much less expensive to add a second child than to do the whole adoption again. And we had a heart to bring another child home. So we prepared to bring Lily home. We sent the paperwork over, but when we went to our appointment, we found out that she was not through the court system, so she could not be adopted. So, you know, that was just devastating for everybody, and we got to meet her before we left. And the caregiver asked, you know, are you going to come back for her? And, you know, at the time, we really didn't think we could. It was a huge feat to raise that much money. I was actually had a newborn, or was expecting a newborn. And, but we kept praying for her. Our older daughters, you know, begged to fundraise for her, and John can go into that, but, well, do you want to share about that?
Sure. So, my daughters around, Thanksgiving time of 2009, they said to, us, hey, they'd heard about another family that raised like $20,000 in 1 month. And so they said, Daddy, if we can raise $20,000 in 1 month, will you go back and adopt Lily? And I said, If we raise that much money, God's clearly in it. So, yeah, sure. Well, they only raised about $1,500 in that 1 month. But about Christmas time, Tracy and I really had prayed about it and decided, you know what? We're just going to trust that God's going to meet our needs. We had no money of our own to do the adoption. And we committed around Christmas of 2009 to bring home Lily. And we just saw the floodgates open with fundraising, people helping us. One couple had, they knew a musician. They wanted to put on a concert, benefit concert, to support one Reese's Rainbow family. And our family was chosen. They thought they could raise $10,000. They ended up raising $22,000.
Wow.
And that with a grant and a loan, an interest-free adoption loan, we were able to go complete the second adoption without any further need for debt or anything.
Wow. So, and when did you complete Lily's adoption? What year was that?
So that was in 2010. So we went back and we got Lily, but as a bonus, we picked up our son Joshua as well. And we had, we believe on our first adoption trip, we had met Joshua. But we hadn't really, we'd only taken a picture, and we hadn't really gotten any details about his life. And when we got there, we decided we were going to go ahead and pursue him with Lily. And it turned out he was available, but they lied to us. They didn't tell us how bad off he was physically or mentally. And so when we got to the orphanage, we saw Joshua. We knew Lily. We had met her. We saw her functionally. But we saw Joshua, and we were a little bit heartbroken at how bad off he was. He is completely dependent. He can only really acknowledge that somebody's there, but he doesn't speak. And we really had to pray about whether we should move on with adopting him as well. But we really felt like the Lord provided all our funds. He had given us a heart for Joshua as well. And so we went ahead and we proceeded with the adoption of both at that point.
Wow. So you adopted three children from Ukraine, all with special needs. You already have 6 biological children. So how has the adoptions impacted your biological kids?
Well, it's definitely shaped who they are. Let's see, how old were our older kids at the time?
So, you know, our oldest at the time was about 10.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, they've for most of the, you know, at least half of their life, I guess, they've grown up with children with special needs. So they just see them as their thing. You know, they don't see any difference. I'm thinking of my 8-year-old. He's always had Sean in his life. He's an older brother, but he's at the age where he realizes that Sean needs, you know, he's a little different. He needs more time and some help, but he loves playing with him and they're buddies. So anyway, I think it's given them a different perspective. I think they're more compassionate. You know, when they see other people with special needs, they also, you know, they've had to have responsibility to help take care of them. I know when we first got home with Sean, we had gone to the beach. Someone invited us to come there right after the adoption, and it just kind of hit me like, wow, this is hard. He needs constant supervision. Like, he's just a safety risk because he doesn't have any safety awareness. And at the time, he didn't communicate at all. But God quickly showed us that it was a whole family effort. You know, that I wasn't the only one that needed to supervise him, that his siblings would be a big part of that. But like my oldest son, he has a very close relationship with Sean. It's kind of cute because he's the only one that he tends to like to hug because he's like a teenage boy. It's really sweet. And then our older two girls are very, very involved in helping to take care of their siblings. And they're like kind of second mom to them in a way. And then they're all involved, and I think they all just really appreciate them, and they'll stand up for them if, you know, it's really, really sweet. There are some sacrifices that they have to make. It's more challenging to go somewhere as a family. You know, other families might not even, things that we have to think ahead of about to prepare. And
we have to have the 15-passenger van with room for a wheelchair in the back.
Yeah, like special beds when we go in a hotel, and, you know.
Yeah.
It can be crazy, but it's good.
It's good. So even with 9 children home, 3 of them with special needs, you hosted 2 more Ukrainian orphans just last Christmas and again this past summer. What led you to host?
So our second oldest daughter, Naomi, she's 18, and she has just a huge passion for orphans ever since we adopted. She's always sending me pictures of orphans that need a home, and she's always praying for them. She started just having more of a heart for older children that age out and their plight. And she sent me one day a picture of a brother and a sister, 14 and 11 years old, who they were in a hosted program and they were all set to come, but their host family had to back out for some reason. Anyway, it wasn't unusual that she sent me a picture, but for some reason God, you know, opened our hearts and led us to pray about it and talk about it as a family. And we found out more about, you know, at first I thought hosting, you know, I never really considered it because it was a good amount of money. And I always thought, well, you might as well put that money to adopt someone. But the more I learned about hosting, I found out it's not, you know, the goal is to show them the love of Jesus and to show them what a family is, and just, and also give them a experience instead of being stuck in a orphanage with no air condition all summer and no supervision and bad things happening. So, you know, we prayed about it, and we knew that we could do this. You know, sometimes as a family with special needs, you're a little bit limited in ministry that you can do, but we could certainly welcome children into our home and love on them and share our Christmas with them. So we were all very excited about doing that.
So you hosted the kids, a boy and a girl, correct?
Yes.
Through an organization called Ukrainian Resource Center. And for our listeners, you can learn more about them at their website, ukrainianresourcecenter.com. So, John and Tracy, you first hosted them last Christmas 2017 for about 4 weeks. what was that experience like? How did you know you wanted to adopt them?
Sure. I remember clearly picking them up from the airport, and at first they really were very reserved, very shy, not wanting to interact very much. And, you know, there's language barrier. The girl, who's 11 now, she spoke some English, but not a lot. But we didn't know exactly what her understanding level was. And the boy did not really have much language capability in English. So we, at first, you know, it was just kind of them getting used to us. We brought them into the home, set them up in their rooms, and they went to sleep right away because they're exhausted from their trip. But within a few short days, they fit in. They were involved, you know, in the everyday life that we were living. They were getting involved with doing things with the other kids. We started to see their personalities unfold. We were using Google Translate to communicate with them and starting to get a little bit more out of them, and quickly realized that the young lady could speak some English and had a fair amount of understanding. So they just started to open up, and I think it was within 3 days, I looked at my wife in private and said, how can we possibly send them back? Because we knew that the statistics for young ladies is a very high getting involved with pornography or
trafficking,
other unsavory things, at a young age, after they age out. And for the young men, there's a lot of crime as they age out and get into a system that doesn't always look at them very favorably. So we really felt in prostitution for the girls. So we just felt that it was important that we show them not only the love of God for a month, but that we take them into our family, which they were quickly integrating into.
So you hosted both the boy and the girl again this past summer for 8 weeks.
Yes, they're still with us.
They're still with you. Wow. So they wanted to be adopted. You wanted to adopt them. And then you also learned they have a little sister. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So they have a little sister who's 4, who's been in a different orphanage all her life. So they haven't seen her since she was a baby, as far as we can tell. And she has special needs. So, you know, it really kind of, I mean, some people might be turned off by that, but with our background, we, you know, when we saw her and heard about her, our hearts just, you know, went out for her. And we've been able to learn a little bit about her and see pictures and things and video, because there's we have a friend who has a ministry that they actually visit the children there, because it's the same orphanage that we adopted our other kids in, which was amazing. Of all, you know, how many orphanages are there in Ukraine? And, you know, she happens to be at the same orphanage. So, yeah, so we're excited to reunite the children and to see her.
So you're pursuing adoption of all 3 children. Where
Yes.
are you now in the adoption process?
We have submitted to Ukraine our dossier, all the legal paperwork that has to be notarized and what's called apostilled, which is official State Department approval of the documents. And so there's a lot of background that goes into that, a lot of cost. And so that's already done, thankfully. And it's there in Ukraine right now being translated. And then after the translation is complete, then it's probably going to be a roughly 2-month waiting period before we find out when they are inviting us to come and meet up with their the department that handles adoptions internationally or within the Ukraine. And so we may have a moment or two to catch our breath before we're having to order plane tickets and set up where we're going to stay. So anyway, it could move very fast once we find out something.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. And I know the ups and downs of international adoption, having adopted four of our children from Ukraine specifically. And it's funny when you said Sean's name had been Slava in Ukraine, because our youngest that we adopted in 2010, his name is Slava.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but yeah. I don't know if you know this, but the name Slava literally means praise.
Yes, I do know that. And
Okay. We
had found out about him when we were there bringing home his three older siblings, didn't know about him. So Slava just sort of became a household word for several years in our home as we were trying to bring him home. We knew what it meant. So it was like, you know, people did say, are you going to change his name? And we're like, no, pretty much he's Slava, and he's such a Slava, so we can't imagine calling him anything else. It's kind of funny, but
that's great.
Yeah. So John and Tracy, as we wrap up here today, I'm going to give you both an opportunity to answer this. What is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear?
Probably for me, a couple of things. One is that just if someone has a heart to help orphans, to really consider hosting. There's so many benefits that I didn't realize before, and having adopted first, I guess. But there's kids that can't be adopted. Some don't want to be, but even I know families who they've hosted and they just support them, and they are, you know, a source of love in their life and encouragement, and it makes a big difference. There's a family who they desperately wanted to adopt a boy, but he wasn't able to be adopted. He was too old. But they've helped him get into a school there, and he's really turned his life around. And it's just such a picture of the love of Christ, you know, to care about these kids. And the other thing is, if you do go into hosting or even adoption, to make sure you read about these children, because they come from really hard places. I know, Sandra, we've talked about The Connected Child as a book I highly recommend.
Yes.
And we're still learning. We have it's not an easy road, but I think, you know, one that God wants us to take. And then the last thing for me is just, you know, some people will say to us, oh, that's great that you can do that. You know, I wish I could afford it, or I forget what else is there. Or it's great that you're called to do that. And, you know, not everyone necessarily is called to adopt, but they can certainly do something. And I just want people to know that we can't afford it, and we can't even do it in our own strength, emotionally or physically, but God is able to equip us. How about you?
I was just going to add to that. You know, we as Christians, and the majority of Christians are pro-life, and one of the incorrect arguments against the pro-life position is, well, you want people to have these unwanted babies, why don't you adopt them? So the fact that we are pro-life and adopting and demonstrating that we're willing to take the children that we would otherwise cast aside is a very strong, positive pro-life statement. And it's been said, and I might be wrong on this number, but somewhere in the teen range, like 12-13% of Christian families, if they would adopt, there would be no more orphanages, there would be no more children that would need to be put through the foster care system, and we would eradicate the orphanage issue. There would be no more orphans at all. And I think that's a very powerful statement about the need for the body of Christ to step in and help out, whether it's directly or indirectly, with people taking children that have no family into their own homes.
Amen to that. I think I've heard a statistic that says that while most believers believe Christians should be involved in adoption and foster care, only about 2% actually bring children into their home. So we need
sure.
to like increase that by 10%, and there could be a huge impact on the global orphan crisis and the
Absolutely.
National foster care crisis. So I hear you on those numbers. And for hosting, like Tracy was saying, I know I heard an adult inspirational speaker who had grown up in foster care, and now as an adult he travels and speaks in various places in high schools, and I heard him speak at an orphan conference once, and he said every child is just one caring adult away from success. And whether you adopt or you foster, but if you host, and even if you aren't able to adopt or if the child is not available for adoption, you can be that one caring adult that impacts that child's life and lets them know they're cared about, they're loved, we're here for you, we're supporting you. You can stay connected through Skype and social media, even if they're back in Ukraine. And just for a kid to know they have that person out there caring for them can make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you guys on and talk about these things. And Tracy, you have a blog where you talk about these things. How can our listeners find your blog?
Sure. So our blog is www.childrenpreciousinhissight.blogpost.com.
Wonderful. So Children Precious in His Sight. blogpost.com.
Yeah.
Awesome. So our listeners can learn more about your family, your adventures, and the things that we've been talking about today. So John and Tracy, thank you for all you are doing on behalf of orphans. And we pray that you'll be able to very soon bring these three children that you've hosted. We've hosted the two, and they have a sibling that you haven't hosted. But you want to unite this family and bring them home to their forever family. We pray that they will be coming home soon and you'll all be together. So thank you for sharing your story with us today.
And thank you for having us on your program today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor. Thank you for sharing. And we thank you, our listeners, for listening to this episode of Orphans No More today. You can find more episodes of the show right on our website at justicefororphansny.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. You look for the show Orphans No More. And please be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. Maybe it's through adoption or maybe it's through hosting. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.